listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way.
Think of that song again. Trust and obey. If we notice, the word trust is put there first. And we must trust before we can obey. Trust in Him who alone can make us obey. And as we have seen in previous weeks, whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And we are to trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's also through His Son that we can begin to have obedience. As Paul stated in the letter to the church at Ephesus, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and only then can we obey. I'd like to read now from Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 18, and reading through the 6th verse of the 6th chapter. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the 6th chapter, the first 6 verses. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let's give thanks for these words, for the words themselves, the doctrine that is there, and especially the experience. We think of buried with Him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Let's pray that we'll be able to do that. And where it has been given, there will be a reviving of it. Where it has not been given, there might be a beginning of this. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in His name for Thy giving Him, He willing to come down to earth, being born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them under the law. All of this taking place in time, and Father, all planned in eternity. And now we pray in His name that the Spirit might be given to open our hearts to these words, to humbly receive them rightly, that out of what we read here we might trust and obey, knowing that there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Father, we pray that this might be done in the church. We pray that it might be done especially in the home. We pray that it might be done in our individual lives. We pray that the church might do this in such a way in many nations that it will be a salt and a light in the nation, that even as our nation has been called a Christian nation, that we might again have such a strong witness from the church that it will make our nation submit to many of Thy ways. And Father, we know there is a difference between possessing and professing, but we pray that many might possess. And then, Father, that there will also be the professing of Thy name throughout the world, even from our nation as it has been in the past. We ask that we might have understanding of that, that we might know that it is not a national thing first, an individual blessing, each one of us needing it. And we pray that Thou would teach us that. We pray also, Father, for the needs of each and every individual in our audience and in the church, in our nation, throughout the world, the many needs that there are of those in sickness and injury, that there might be healing given, those in troubled homes, that they might be reconciled, those that are in sorrow, that they might be comforted, those in lonesomeness, that they might be given what is needed from Thy throne on high. And Father, also the blessings in nature, the peace that is needed in nations, the freedom, all of this we pray for, that it might be given through and because of Christ. Amen. We have been dealing with Paul's words to both the church at Rome and the church at Ephesus on God predestinating, God planning this in eternity, and then also the outworking of it, as it is stated so wonderfully in both the letter to the church at Rome and the church at Ephesus. And we pray that God will teach us that, as we read from the letter of one to her pastor, or his pastor, I don't know if it was a man or a woman, that many are upset, many are troubled by such teaching. And we should not be. It is part of God's blessing to us. It is certainly what we call sometimes the doctrines of grace. God working in grace. And it is strange how people rebel against this and say it's not fair. Remember, God does not shut the door of those that want to enter in. He rather opens the door and makes people that did not want to enter in, like Paul himself, to enter in. And when we think of reading this, know ye not, as many of you were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. I think of what Luke records of Paul in Acts chapter 9 and again in Acts chapter 22, and then Paul's reference back to that time in Acts 26 as he stood before King Agrippa. And in that history, we read of Ananias being sent to him, and at one point, after the 3 days of Paul's teaching, searching, 3 days that he did neither eat bread nor drink water, but learned of the Lord, Ananias said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And Paul was baptized. So he knows by experience what he is here writing of to the church at Rome when he says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" And then the description of it in the fourth verse also. But let's remember, before this, we were as we read in the first verse that we read from verse 18 of chapter 5. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." All those who are the descendants, the sons, the daughters of Adam, died in him. And all those who are in Christ are made alive or have justification of life in Christ. Yes, there is much teaching of that, plain teaching. And let's remember that many are teaching the lie that Adam was not a real man. And also even some go so far as to teach that Adam had other parents of different kinds of, they want to call them, animals, monkeys, apes. That is what is actually taught, that Adam was the descendant of that. Some also say that Adam was not a real man, that the teaching that God inspired Moses to write of him is just a myth. So we have these lies. and men have substituted theories instead. This kind of theory, that kind of theory. Really, just a wild guess, because it's not fact. It's not scientific. No fact has ever been proved of science that could disprove that we are descendants of Adam, and Adam was made by God, as God said, plural, let us make man in our own image. Created him good and upright. And then stating to him, warning him to eat of everything except the one fruit of the one tree. So the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Surely die. God's word is always sure. But God spoke particularly to Adam there and said, surely, as we have it in our English translation. And there's not only the words that we just read here from the 18th verse, but Paul referred back to it many times, beginning with the 12th verse of this 5th chapter. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now just think for a moment. If what many believe and teach concerning Genesis 1 and 2, then what about Paul's teaching here? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. He refers to that in the 12th verse, again in the 15th verse, to the offense of one many be dead. Adam, when he sinned, died, as God said he would. He died spiritually. And many are dead spiritually because of that. We are one with him. In the 17th verse of this 5th chapter of Romans, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, again the same thought, the same teaching over and over and over, Paul gives it to us, and thankfully joining with it, not just leaving us there, but quickly adding, much more they which shall receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. So as Paul is giving us the message of the gospel, is telling us why we need it. We've died in Adam, all dead in him. Yes, it's there, very plainly. Then again, the 18th verse that we read, the 19th verse, it was repeated. And we can see it in all these verses, many times, repeated, repeated, repeated. And not only here in this letter to the church at Rome, but as well given, and Paul wrote another letter, a letter to the Corinthians that he had written just a little bit earlier. We have there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in Romans 5, we have as by one man. But in 1 Corinthians, we have that man's name. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And then the name of that man in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And then Paul, referring to that again later in the same chapter, verse 45, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Verse 47 of that chapter, the first man is of the earth earthly, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. All of this is history, or as we sometimes say, of history, his story, God's story of you and me. And as we ended the message last week, let's fall before him now and beg him to do for you and me what he did for those at Rome and at Ephesus. And I thought later, yes, we can say, for you and me. And that's right. In one way, that's very necessary. Another way, we should pray for all others as well. We should pray for the church and the world. We should do as Paul did. He prayed for his kinsmen according to the flesh. He prayed for his family that they might be saved. But coming back to you and me, we do first have to pray individually. Because if we don't pray for ourselves, to God, and before God, then we're in that state of death in Adam. We're dead in sin. And we can't really rightly pray for others when we haven't done as the publican did ourselves. The publican who stated, as the Lord Jesus gave that message, recording the Gospel of Luke, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And then we read those wonderful words, that man went to his house justified. Fulfillment of what we read last week. Whom he predestines, then he also calls, and whom he calls, he justifies. God was calling that publican to a knowledge of his sin and to the need of forgiveness, and knew that there could be forgiveness by praying to God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He was hoping for mercy. He was expecting mercy. He received mercy. We could also say grace. Went to his house justified. That is grace. That's what Paul is talking about here. As we said, we sometimes give it the heading of the doctrines of grace, that it's all done by God's choice, by God's power, by God's doing it. We're recipients of it, but we are not the originators of it. It comes from God, as we stated, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And as the song that we sang last week, because he loved me first. The first good thing in our life. He showed his love, calling us, and then doing like Paul does, states here, making us know that we died in Adam, making us know that we're sinners in our actual life. As George Whitefield, the great evangelist, said, we must know our original sin in Adam. We must know our sin of unbelief, that we will not come to Christ. And we must know our actual sins, the sins of disobedience. And Paul also talked about that here. That's why he could state in the 20th verse, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Not really get worse, but sometimes it does get worse. We rebel when the law comes upon us. We're just that kind of a nature. We want to rebel when we're told what to do. But here I think it means much the same as what Paul would say of himself later in this letter, in the 7th chapter. He said, I had not known sin, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And then he said, sin revived, and I died. Sin began to abound. Saul knew it. And he began to see the right understanding of the law. He said, the law is just and holy and good. And I am sold under sin. Paul knew that. He was a preacher that experienced repentance. He was a preacher that experienced faith in Christ. And now he was preaching to these people at Rome in this letter and stating, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. When the law comes to us, that we see it in truth, it's only because the Spirit has opened our eyes, opened our heart. And then that is grace, like it was with Cornelius, the summary of Peter visiting Cornelius. We have in Acts chapter 11 the conclusion. First, Peter went there. He hesitated. Then he went. When he came back, the Jews remonstrated with him. But the conclusion was, then hath God unto the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. What a wonderful statement. God granted. What did he grant? Repentance. What kind of repentance? To life. To Christ. All true repentance will make us know we're guilty before God. All true repentance will lead us to Christ. That's the Word of God's teaching, and that's the way of the Spirit to lead us. And that was done here. The law entered. Sure, it was there long before that, written on stone, written on parchments and books, like we have it. But how many people really know with Paul that the law was just and holy and good today? We think we can do what we want with the law. But God can do with us what he wants according to the law. The wages of sin against that law is death. Thankfully, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God uses the law as stated here. Paul gives the same teaching when he wrote to the Galatians. He said the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Exactly the same thing as we just quoted from the book of Acts. God hath then granted unto them repentance unto life. All these things, in different ways, they're described, but they're all the same work of God, the same plan of God, the same outworking of that plan. And then, after that has taken place, Paul asked the question, when they had had this grace of the law and the grace of Christ. The first verse of chapter 6 states, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we, who are dead to sin, continue any longer therein? Our time is gone. Read it. Pray that God will teach us according to these words.
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423, or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.